The scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 1, verses 24 to 45. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me in this time, and when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Mary visits Elizabeth. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Let us bow our heads and pray together. Almighty God, thank you for this day. Thank you for those who are here, those who are not with us this morning. I lift them all up before you. And I pray, God, that your Spirit will truly be present, not just in our church, but also in our hearts, and that your word this morning will be blessed, that your Spirit will open our hearts and our minds to receive your message, and may your joy truly enter our lives in this time. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. There is no room at the inn. It's a phrase we hear every Christmas, right? We see it in our Christmas pageants. And so this Advent and holiday season, we're taking a closer look at how do we make room? How do we create space in our lives? And in our churches, and also in our communities, how do we make room for Jesus, for those who are close to us, but also for the stranger? And last week we looked at John the Baptist, who went ahead of Jesus to make way for him and for his ministry. And we talked about how we can make room for God, how we can make room for Jesus at the inn, but at the inn of our hearts and the inn of our minds. So we asked what you and I need to leave behind to make room in our hearts and our lives for Jesus. How we can declutter our lives and wait expectantly for the birth of Jesus into our world again. Today, we are going to zoom in a little bit more on how to make room in relationships. And how the story of Mary and Elizabeth shows us the importance of having relationships that can serve as sanctuaries for us, safe places where we can bring our joys and fears and our full selves. Because, you know, sometimes we are blessed. We are blessed to have certain people in our lives. People who make room for us. People who provide us with breathing room in a relationship. By who they are, you know, who they are, it's like a sanctuary for you. A special relationship. Maybe it's because their experiences in life mirror your own. Or maybe it's because you have a lot in common. Or maybe they were there for you and helped you in times of sudden change. And they're happy for you. Not everybody's happy for you, okay? And they encourage you. They're there for you when you need them. I don't know if you can think of anyone like that in your life, past, present. Maybe you are that person for someone else. But here's something I want to remind you of. Social isolation is a major problem in our culture. And the thing about loneliness is it compounds other problems. For instance, if you have experienced loss and you feel isolated, then that grief is often emphasized and more pointed at the holidays. So just a quick reminder that we have a Blue Christmas service on December the 21st at 7 p.m. For those people who feel blue during those seasons for very different reasons. Maybe you've experienced loss or a relationship has gone bad or you're just lonely. We want to create some space and acknowledge that that's also part of who we are as people in the midst of this joyful season. So if you know of anybody who wants to be comforted and experience this on the 21st, then please invite them, 7 p.m. here at our church. So Mary and Elizabeth, you know, that we just read about, faced these challenges of loneliness and social isolation for different reasons. But through relationship with one another, God creates space for both women to be blessed and to feel supported. Luke 1:24 tells us that Elizabeth is in seclusion. Now, if you can remember, you know, just a little bit earlier in the chapter, if you can remember how Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, was doing his priestly duties when an angel from the Lord appeared to him. And the angel told him not to be afraid because God has heard their prayers for a child. They've been praying for a child. And the angel said, well, Elizabeth will have a son, and they should call him John. Now, this is, of course, John the Baptist that we talked about last Sunday. But Zechariah responded and said, how will I know this is going to happen? Because my wife and I are both very old. He says, you know, I don't know about this. I mean, we are both old, okay? How is this going to happen? And apparently the angel didn't like this response. So he said, you've not believed what I've said, so now you will not be able to say a thing until all this happens. So Zechariah lost his ability to speak. And then it says in verse 24, soon after this, his wife was expecting a baby. And for 5 months, she did not leave the house. Okay, imagine that. That's a long time to be stuck at home, to be isolated like that. 5 months. And on top of that, her husband was unable to talk, which would have added to this isolating experience. Now, although we can only speculate, it is quite possible that Elizabeth had experienced miscarriages. And at that time, in that culture, she likely faced judgment due to her childlessness. And so she said to herself, what the Lord has done for me will keep people from looking down on me. Mary, on the other hand, would for certain have faced disapproval for being pregnant outside of marriage. Probably worse than just disapproval. She may have sought refuge from the cruel people in her community and their judging of her in order to hide her pregnancy. She would have done whatever she could to avoid the social consequences. And that's a lonely place to be, okay? So both Mary and Elizabeth faced the challenge of loneliness, of being isolated socially. And just like them, we too can face many isolating experiences. There are many factors, and not just loss that I mentioned earlier, that can lead to social isolation and loneliness. It can be a major life event like a divorce or retirement. Relocating to a new area can bring social isolation. Caring for a sick loved one can take away time from other social activities. Maybe you're living alone, and that can be challenging in itself. Physical illness and a lack of mobility can cause isolation, or mental health issues like depression and anxiety. Some have a lack of transportation, you know, something we take for granted, or the inability to afford any social activities, something we take for granted. Discrimination based on age or race or gender or sexual orientation can lead to exclusion and isolation. And these days, an over-reliance on social media can lead to feelings of loneliness. When you see someone else's highlight reels and you're wondering, you know, why is my life so lonely in comparison? And that's why I want you to know that a non-judgmental and gracious relationship can make a huge difference for people facing these experiences. And I want you to know that what you have experienced in life, okay, can be valuable for someone else who's experiencing the same thing. Because deeper relationships often grow from shared or similar experiences. When someone went through a divorce, or because they suffered loss, or because they're from an immigrant family, they probably have a better understanding of someone else who's going through a similar experience. And God can use what you've experienced in life to give you understanding and compassion for another person or friend who's going through the exact same thing. And Mary and Elizabeth shared a common experience. Both of them had miraculous pregnancies. But while Elizabeth's pregnancy would lift her shame, Mary's pregnancy would bestow shame. And what we see, though, is when Mary decided to go to Elizabeth, Elizabeth did not judge her. She simply provided refuge and shelter from community disapproval. She provided sanctuary. Because of her own pregnancy in her old age, she was someone who could celebrate Mary's pregnancy as God's work, because that's what she experienced. And that's why I'm saying that shared experiences can both necessitate and create life-giving relationships. And we somehow need relationships with people who get it. People who get us when we face challenging experiences. That's why support groups and affinity groups have a real purpose in life. Now, you don't need to have the exact same experience as another person for your relationship with them to be life-giving. You can have solidarity with someone. You can have empathy in relationships. And sanctuary involves acceptance of someone else's experience as your own or similar to you. And I also want to point out that Elizabeth does not do something that we like to do. She does not offer Mary advice, okay? The two of them had no agendas. They were simply there for one another. And their meeting was a milestone on the emotional journey for each of them. Mary's visit broke into Elizabeth's isolation and led her to express awe and joy. Now, part of our Advent song that we just sang says, "Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary." I want to ask you, how can you make room in your relationships? How can you nurture some spacious relationships in this season? Because we often need someone else to bring insight into our experience. Are you open? Are you open for someone else to transform your understanding of what you may be facing? We're all busy, right? We have schedules. We have a need to get from point A to point B, and we need to get this done, and we need to get that done. But can you be open to interruption, an unexpected encounter with someone can bring you an opportunity to serve? Or it may be a blessing that is needed in your life. We all need to nurture this willingness to let God change our plans. Maybe you've been hurt in a relationship, and as a result, you've put up some walls, right, to protect you, to protect yourself. But those walls may also keep other people out, okay? So how can you find the courage to let others in? Maybe you're going through something difficult, something that is isolating. So where might you seek community with others who've experienced something similar? Sometimes they say the best remedy for your own loneliness is to engage with others who are lonely. You can visit the lonely. And you can maybe develop relationships that go beyond holiday visits. Think about who in your life might feel judged, might feel lonely, and how might you reach out to them and provide space to just be. Not to judge, just to be. As community church, what would it look like if our church was a place where everyone could find meaningful relationships and community? A place where people can develop companionship, where there is room for relationships, where they can experience God's love and grace through other people. A place where people are welcome regardless of who they are or what they're facing in life. What would it take for us to make room for all the complexities that people's lives entail? May we be a sanctuary where we can bring our joys and fears and full selves and be in relationship with one another as God's people. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the story of Mary and Elizabeth, and that we can learn something about loneliness and isolation this morning. If we have the kind of friends we just talked about, then we bless you and thank you and praise you for bringing them into our lives. If anyone here is that kind of a friend to someone else, then I thank you, God, for their lives and for what they're doing. But sometimes we isolate ourselves. May your Spirit give us courage to break out of our own isolation, to seek relationships with others. And may we be open to receive relationships from other people when they seek it. Thank you for our church. May we be a loving and a welcoming church where everybody feels like they are connected. May you bless us with all these things that bring joy to our lives. We ask it in the name of Jesus, who is our joy. Amen.